Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we're going to be talking about episode 3 of What If? What if Happy Hogan saved Christmas? All that right after this. Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll, and with me today to join me in this wonderful animation viewing, we have J. Scotty St. Clair. What is up, J. Scotty?
Hey, not too much. Just, basking in the wake of the holidays here and really enjoying this second season of What If. How are you doing?
Man, me too. I'm really, really enjoying it. And I've seen a couple episodes past what we're going to talk about tonight, and I'm enjoying it even more. I think the episodes after this get even better. But man, I just must say to the beautiful listeners out there, I'm sorry. I said I was going to do this every day, and I fully planned on it, but I completely underestimated the amount of workload that goes into being a dad at Christmas time. Just like the setting up of Christmas and getting everyone to where they need to be for food and for merriment and for, I fully planned on doing I was like, sure, it's only 20-minute episodes. I'll watch them. Even if I record by myself, I'm going to do it every day.
Right.
And I could not find that 50 minutes I needed to record a 10-minute solo episode. But the good thing about that is I think it'll be a much more quality episode to have you here with me to talk about it.
Hey.
A little delayed, but hopefully the quality will be increased.
Yeah, no, I'm actually kind of glad you bring that up because it kind of gives me the opportunity just to talk about this release schedule. And yeah, I fully acknowledge that as a podcaster, it's not an ideal release strategy at all. But I actually have really been enjoying it. It's kind of been nice, as part of the Christmas and holiday season to kind of have these episodes to look forward to each day. And I kind of think if I was a kid and had extended time off from school, it would enhance that experience even more so. And I think I know you don't work the traditional 9 to 5 Monday through Friday, but with Christmas having fallen on kind of a Monday, I think everyone was kind of shortchanged in terms of the amount of time that they get off. So I think everyone's kind of been trying to scramble to watch all these episodes.
Yeah. Yeah, and what's been kind of fun, and not to say I don't love podcasting, because I do, but what has been kind of fun about watching a little ahead is I watched ahead, but I did not have time to podcast. Mostly, by the time I got home to watch them, I was really punchy and tired, and I couldn't, I didn't have my brain together, and I just couldn't think through I have absolutely nothing to say. I'm so spent. We got 2 hours of sleep on Christmas morning, that kind of thing. So I was I have nothing to say, but that allowed me to turn my brain off. I was there's no way I'm casting tonight. I just can't do it. I will not bring anything to the people. So I was but that allowed me to turn my brain off and just watch. And that was really fun. Knowing that I'm not even going to think about what I'm going to try to say or think, or I'm not analyzing. I just enjoyed these episodes the last few days, and it's been really fun.
Right on. Hey, sometimes self-care is just choosing not to podcast.
It really is. I love doing this, but sometimes it is like that. It's all right, I'm just going to watch a movie and not think about whether I should do a Avengers Assemble series on it. I'm just going to go see a movie. It sounds so simple, but it's hard to think that way.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, man, let's get into this episode. Happy Hogan Saved Christmas.
Yeah.
What did you think?
Well, you kind of talked about how you've watched ahead, and I too have seen a couple episodes ahead, and I agree with you that I think the season just continues to get stronger. But I do think this episode kind of had a tough task ahead of it coming off of the heels of episode 2. I did listen to Jeff and yours coverage of episode 1, but I haven't listened to episode 2. So hopefully I'm not repeating anything you said there, but I do think episode 2, what if Peter Quill attacked Earth, which, effectively became an Avengers 88 story, was actually one of my favorite episodes of What If, period. That includes, season 1. So that being said, I did enjoy this episode. I think this episode was a lot of fun. It basically, was a Christmas episode.
Yeah.
Was an opportunity for a lot of our like side characters and sidekicks to kind of like, you know, step into the limelight. And then it was a full on Die Hard parody. So in that sense, I had a blast with it. Do I think it was super impactful in the great scheme of things? And did it really like, you know, have a lot to say with this question of what if? Mm-hmm. Not so much compared to some other episodes, but it was still a lot of fun.
Yeah. I think this episode, so far this season, this is my least favorite episode.
Okay.
I like it, but it kind of feels like they just want to create, they wanted to create a Hulk, a Happy Hogan Hulk, or a yeah. Hulk Hogan, as Hammer calls him. Yes. I think they just wanted to create one of those to be in whatever the Multiverse Avengers, or, you know, Guardians of the Multiverse end up being this season. Sure. And they and this was the way they got there. It didn't as much feel, I mean, it's still, like you said, it's a great little love letter to Die Hard. I think this has been an issue for me with this entire season of What If.
Okay.
And I talked about it in our, I think, first episode about Nebula. I feel like that episode takes the Nebula, like, it starts with the core of this idea. Sorry, I'm having a hard time framing my thoughts, but basically, like, I kind of expect from these episodes something akin to what happens with Star Wars Visions.
Okay.
Where you get like, you're getting this one-off weird multiverse story. And so yeah. why not let it live in that world with its own style and its own like tone. And I okay. don't think this show does that, which is like something I just need to get over because it's not Visions. You know what I mean? It's What If.
Yeah, sure.
And it is a crossover thing. It's, the animation styles are the same for the most part. The tone, like the Nebula episode bothered me a little bit because like it felt like, oh, this cool, gritty Blade Runner tone. Yeah. And then it like suddenly turned into just the What If Marvel tone, you know, like in the middle. This episode was similar. I kept thinking like, if you're going to do Die Hard, do Die Hard. You know what I mean? Like
yeah, sure.
instead of like having it be a bunch of, instead of it being a Die Hard like parody, it was more of just like an episode of What If with a bunch of Die Hard references. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
oh, look, sure. he's in a vent making a statement like John McClane did. Oh, that's another reference. That's another reference. Oh, look, he's falling off the tower. I knew that would happen at some point. Like, they did references.
Reginald Bell Johnson is the thing you'd remember from the movie.
Yeah, yeah. I love that line. I love that line. There's a lot of great, it's just like very referential of
sure.
Die Hard, but it does not feel at all like Die Hard. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I kind of, yeah. same thing I said about Nebula feeling like Blade Runner at the beginning, then sort of abandoning that. I kind of yeah. wish this had felt like, I never felt like Happy Hogan was in danger, which like mm-hmm. the whole visceral, like, sense you get from Die Hard is that he's a like, there's a reason he's barefoot in the glass scene, you know? And it's because right. he is a flawed, like, fragile protagonist who's like getting hurt, and that's totally Happy. Like, it could have been Happy getting hurt, like really feeling under threat. It's the multiverse, anything could happen, he could die, you know what I mean? Like, make mm-hmm. me feel kind of a little bit of John McClane in Happy, and instead it was sort sure. of like just a slapsticky silly, and then once he gets the Hulk blood, you're like, oh, now he's definitely safe, you know? Like, there's no it just did not feel like Die Hard to me.
No, I think that's a fair assessment. I think all your critiques are fair. And, you know, just to kind of dial back to what you said about episode one, I think your criticisms there are really on point as well. I think it was really strong out of the gate in terms of having like kind of this noir detective gumshoe kind of feel to it. And mm-hmm. then it did kind of just transition into your I don't want to say run-of-the-mill What If story, but it did feel, you know, kind of traditional in that sense. So like thinking about this episode, I did find myself like asking like, what was the moral of the story? And like, you can make an argument that like, you know, Happy learned that he can be the hero, that he can step up and he doesn't need to, you know, necessarily rely on these Avengers. Like, he has what it takes to be a hero. But I do think that's kind of thin. And like, thinking about like the way the Watcher introduces every episode, and he always like, you know, posits the question, what if, and then presents the scenario. But I've been finding with these episodes, and I think it kind of started in episode or a season one rather, but has been really a strong thing in season two, is that we're actually dealing with multiple what ifs. Like, they present the initial question, like, what if, and I'm gonna try and to avoid talking about later episodes too much, but I think, you know, that becomes a thing here. So this was like, what if Happy Hogan saved Christmas, but also like, you know, what if Justin Hammer had his chance for revenge?
Right,
and I found myself gravitating towards that aspect a little bit more. Like that was the part of the story I had more fun with. Like, sure. Happy Hogan was fun. He was slapsticky, but I actually did not really enjoy the character design of his Hulk all that much. I didn't really like the purple or the veininess or the fact that he could like speak. He kind of felt like the Waluigi of Hulks. I don't know if you get that reference. Like, maybe you do since your niece. Maybe she plays Nintendo or something like that. But
I'm not that old. I played Nintendo. But no, I've never played a Wario or a Waluigi game. But I've seen them. I'm with it enough to have seen them.
Okay.
I knew what FNAF was, okay? I knew what FNAF was.
You got me there.
Have your friends or fellow podcasters been making you feel old by presuming you've never played classic video game characters? Well, I got to tell you what's been making me feel young lately. And it is AG1. That's right. It is a supplement drink that I drink every morning, and it has given me more energy, made me feel like, I don't know, like my diet is more complete. I don't feel like I'm lacking things. AG1 replaces my multivitamin, my probiotic, and more in one simple drinkable habit. I've said it before on the podcast, but I really do find that AG1 gives me a lot more energy. And I just feel it. Like, I was taking multivitamins and other vitamins before. I had, like, a whole little container full of pills I would take every day. Not even medications, just vitamins. And I was taking them, but I wasn't really seeing the results I have been since I've been taking AG1. And I just think you guys, if you're on a supplement kick like I was before I started drinking AG1, give it a try, because I got to cut out so many pills out of my day, and I just drink this one drink in the morning, and it makes me feel great. I've stopped drinking as many energy drinks, because I just have more energy. More complete diet gives me more energy. What can I say? If you want to take ownership of your health, try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/MCU. That's drinkag1.com/MCU. Check it out. This episode has weak points, but Hammer wasn't one of them. Hammer was awesome.
Oh, no, not at all.
I think part of it is, one of the things about What If that's so much fun is getting to see something we never get to see. Yeah. And obviously, Happy Hogan turning into a Hulk is something we haven't seen. But
sure.
For whatever reason, I don't find it that compelling. But part of it is we've seen Happy Hogan a lot. Not only through all the Iron Man series, some of the Avengers, and the Spider-Man films. Like, he's been in almost as many as anyone, like, has been in. Almost as many, like, total films. Maybe more. I think he may be one of the most commonly appearing actors, now that I think about it.
I think he's got more appearances than some of the core Avengers at this point, for sure.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah. I mean, like, think about Hawkeye has, like, until the Hawkeye series, he's only in, like, whatever, 5 movies. I believe that's right. but Happy Hogan, I guess I've seen a lot of him. So seeing Hammer again, which is something I've been asking for years, ever since the King short.
All Hail the King.
All Hail the King. Thank you.
Yeah.
Ever since All Hail the King, I've been wanting more Hammer. Like, oh, he's in jail. Where are we going to see? What are we going to see? When's that going to come back? He came back for this, and it's great. Like, every moment he's on screen, all of his jokes land. Like, he's really wonderful. Just great to hear that actor again. The fact that they had him dance that whole sequence like he does in every movie, I thought that was really, really funny.
Yeah, I loved how they animated that dance he did from Iron Man 2, like in the What If style, and then they added on to that later with him doing additional dance numbers later on. But yeah, to your credit there, yeah, Sam Rockwell, the fact that they were able to bring him back, I was super happy about that. But I was actually really impressed with how many of the returning voice cast they got, because we got John Favreau coming back. We got Kat Dennings. And again, you talk about how like the focus here should be on Happy Hogan, but I actually found myself more excited to spend more time with Darcy again, even though we got to spend time with her in WandaVision. It's just always, you know, so much fun to spend time with her. And then, yeah, so many of the Avengers themselves.
Yeah. And Maria Hill.
Yeah. Colby Smulders. Yeah.
After her, spoiler alert for Secret Invasion, 1, 2, 3. After her death in Secret Invasion, it's like, it was just nice to hear that she's out there in the multiverse somewhere.
yes, indeed.
But overall, I think this episode's really fun. It's still for me is the weakest. But I so far of the first, I guess five. I think I've seen five at this point. They're great. I'm really excited to talk about the next two because I think they are some of the strongest. What to say? I have a bunch of notes about this, but I thought it was funny that they gave Hammer basically the same plot from She-Hulk.
Oh right,
yeah. Like the fake. That's fair. It's like the fake plot that they said wasn't interesting, you know?
Right.
In She-Hulk, they gave him that actual plot.
Right, that's a good call out.
I really liked the line, "Lock 'em down, Johnny Fives."
Oh yeah, so many references.
So many good lines. I thought it was cool that like we got that moment, Maria Hill and realizing she's the director there at Stark Enterprises, which means this is after Winter Soldier, but those bots are there, which means it's before Ultron. So it's like really fun to just target exactly where this movie happens or this episode would have happened.
Yeah. I'm actually glad you brought that up because I loved having the, you know, the Iron Legion, like Ultron bots, like they were able to pay some homage to Multiverse of Madness when Wanda was covered in the oil, like that looked like blood, like in Happy just got to like smash them to bits and you had oil
that was so fun.
Splattering up against the wall, just like blood spray. It was great.
I loved that. You know what was weird? Well, first off, it was awesome to hear the Marvel intro, but with Christmas music.
Oh, sure.
Like the Marvel intro flipping through and just it turning into Christmas music was really fun. But it was weird hearing the Watcher loves Christmas. I don't know. That just didn't feel like true to the character somehow.
Yeah, he's showcasing a little bit more of his personality this season.
Yeah. But he's got like a view of the whole multiverse. I assume that's not just Earth. I mean, we know. We've seen him like seeing off world and stuff. But he's just like, the best time of the year.
Of all the multiverses.
So silly. It just felt like weirdly like that Christmas special logic where you have to figure out a way to make the characters care about Christmas, like they just did with last year's holiday special where, like, you know, they had them talk about like, oh, we gotta gotta sing a song to Quill about Christmas, we gotta get him a Christmas present, you know. And but right. then there's like Life Day in the Star Wars holiday special. It's like you got to give some reason for these far off cosmic characters to care about Christmas, but they did not justify it here at all. They just had Uatu be like, the best time of year.
That's fair.
It's stupid, but fun.
I guess if you want to give, you know, any kind of credit there, it's an entirely Earth-based story other than Uatu.
Yeah. For sure. What'd you think of Werner? I felt like you particularly would like that joke.
I'm so glad you called that out. Yeah, we had Ross Marquand, who, you know, he stepped into Hugo Weaving's shoes to portray the Red Skull. He came back to voice Werner here, and I love the Werner Herzog joke there, like, you know, expecting Jarvis, but you know, you get a German nihilist. Yeah, it was wonderful.
Are you nihilistic Siri? That was really good.
Yeah, that was great.
I really liked when Happy was told Darcy. She said, "You're the best boss ever." And he said, "Aw, that means a lot coming from someone with so many bosses." Who said so many bosses?
Yeah, yeah. Darcy had some really great humor. I loved her pairing with Happy, and I also loved her pairing with Maria Hill, because when she used Control-Alt-Delete on the computer, and she's like, yeah, I picked that up at a prior internship, and Maria says, like, have you ever had, like, a legitimate paying job? And she's like, nope.
I feel like that's been a really strength of this season, and it continues to be after this, in the next two episodes. But, the pairing of Peter Quill and the loss of his mother and how it's making him go crazy, and then pairing that with Hope and the loss of her mother and getting them to connect. And it's just like, yeah, these two characters that never have connected on screen, never would, but like taking them from these disparate parts of the universe and making them like, hey, let's put them together. I think that's the spark of the idea of that second episode. I think it's great.
Yeah, yeah. It just works really, really, really wonderfully.
It made me cry. Like, it was really, really good. And this one, similarly, like, just grabbing two characters who have not gotten to interact on screen, but who are actors who are wonderful and can play off each other so well, is really, really fun.
Oh, yeah.
And just seeing the Avengers in such a silly light with their Christmas holiday versions or whatever.
Yeah.
Soccer moms are cornering Cap. I gotta go. Oh, yeah.
And I kind of love that Steve was the first one to be able to identify that it was Happy.
Yeah, that was weird. You'd think it would have been Tony.
Yeah, you would. We haven't really had that many interactions between Happy and Steve at all that I can think of. But it was, I guess What If is the avenue to kind of fill in some of those gaps, maybe.
Well, definitely. I mean, it gives you a sense of, like, this is what this whole idea is. Uwaru says, I really like trying to do Uwaru's voice. I can't. Yeah. Jeffrey Wright has such a singular voice, but I really like trying to take my voice down to there. it doesn't sound like him at all. It's terrible. I do it terrible, but it's fun.
Give yourself a little bit of credit. You know, it's like, I get what you're going for.
thank you. It's just fun to do. Like, I'm not. I just want to make it clear. I don't think I have a good one. I just like doing it because it's fun to do. I don't want people thinking, when I say I like doing it, I don't want people out there going, oh, he thinks he's good at that voice. okay. I don't know. Never mind. Yeah, Uwatu was saying, said that Hammer, I guess in this universe, Hammer had a little too much time on his hands or something like that.
Oh, right.
To plan his revenge, I guess, was the idea. But that's the spinoff. That's the next event of this universe, Hammer having too much time on his hands. But what that means is all these other things would have been things that happened in the universe otherwise, like the holiday party and them like hanging out. Like, if that's the next event that brings Hammer into the story, all the stuff that happened before that would have been happening in the 616, at least possibly, or... So I like to think of it that way because it gives me this idea of like what the relationship of Hill and Happy and Darcy and like all these people would be, you know?
No, I think you're right there on the money, because one of the things I noticed, like on Disney Plus, when you go to the hub to pull up What If and choose the episode that you're going to, you know, select there, when it has the log line for the show, it says, you know, exploring the questions and pondering the moments from the Marvel cinematic universe. So I mean, I think it's safe to assume that outside of those changes, those that we're presented with, it's all within the 616 or whatever we're calling this
9199999999 or whatever. I really liked Hill's line, greatest adversary, what are you, a wealth tax? Good stuff.
Yeah, that was a nice little zinger there.
Yeah, I really think that I love this episode. Don't get me wrong. When I say it's my least favorite, I really do mean on like a scale of favorites. I really like a lot of these episodes a lot.
Yeah, it's got tough competition here for sure.
Absolutely. Well, you have any other thoughts with this episode?
No, I think we've covered it pretty thoroughly. Like you said, I'm pretty excited to talk about some of the episodes a little further on in the season here.
Yeah, me too. I actually haven't finished one of them, I think. I said I've seen 4 and 5. I said I watched 4 earlier today, and then I put on 5, but I had to go to a Christmas party and didn't get to finish it. So,
oh man,
I actually need to go watch that. But maybe I'll wait till tomorrow, because we got I'd love to podcast about it again. As quick as we can. We'll get these out as quick as we can, I promise. I know I said every day, but I think now every day is a pretty safe bet. I think we'll be, maybe we may even drop one or two in two in a day if we can, just to catch up. So
whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. I don't know, man. I don't trade lives. I never learned that whatever it takes, listen. All right, Jay Scotty, thank you for being here. You talk about animated stuff all the time over on Animation Liberation. I'm assuming you guys will be covering this show in depth in some form. Tell us about Animation Liberation. What are you doing?
Yeah, Animation Deliberation. It's the podcast that takes action, animation, and cartoons seriously, but not too seriously. And yeah, we've been, you know, absolutely overwhelmed with the amount of animated content coming out here. So we certainly do have plans to cover What If Season 2, maybe break it up into like the first half of the season and the second half, and maybe talk about the season as a whole. But we will, you know, have some coverage out for you sooner rather than later. And then beyond that, I know Jujutsu Kaisen, that season finale is coming up right now, and Zuhair and Andrew have been having a lot of fun covering that. And Marvel just, you know, announced that 2024 is going to be the year of animation. So, you know, we're going to be covering all of that.
Oh, man. Yeah. Lots of stuff coming. Lots of stuff coming. So, yeah, please check out Animation Deliberation. Also, if you like this dynamic of me and Jay Scotty talking about stuff, listen to Multiverse News, man. We're over there every week talking about Multiverse News. That doesn't explain what the show is. Talking about the news of all your
self-referential sometimes. Yeah.
We're talking about all your favorite the news about all your favorite fictional universes. So basically entertainment news. And we really have a good time over there. It's a great, great show, great time. So please check out Multiverse News. We've got a holiday episode dropping tomorrow about what our favorite stuff that came out in 2023. So yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way, that's a nice t-shirt you got there. Or nice sweatshirt you got there.
Yeah, everybody, listen to The Garage. Check out The Garage. Wonderful band.
That's my band. He's got my band hoodie on. Woo! Anyway, well, thank you for being here, Jay Scotty. Really do appreciate you hopping on it kind of last minute, because I planned on really planning these out, and then the holidays just completely consumed my time. I have a new found respect for all the parents out there. I knew it was hard, but it was very hard. I learned some lessons, though. Learned some lessons. I feel like next year won't be as hard, just purely from like, okay, I did some things that were stupid, planned to do things that were like too much work, or like planned. Okay,
so this was your Clark Griswold year, you know, overextend yourself.
It's really funny. My girlfriend, I have not announced this many places. I guess this may be the first time I'm announcing it on the podcast. My fiance.
Yes. I apologize for that drum roll.
That was a terrible drum roll. My fiance. Yeah, I got engaged last week.
Congratulations. That's incredible.
Thank you. It's very, very excited. She said she watched the Clark Griswold movie, the Christmas
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation
this week. And she watched it and she was like, I just realizing now that I'm an adult and I'm like going through these things about Christmas and kids and blah. She's like, I am Clark Griswold. Like, I just am. And I'm realizing now as an adult that I am Clark Griswold. I was like, that's, yeah, I completely see it. I completely see it. It's pretty good. I see it, but I haven't seen that movie in so long that I feel like I need to go watch it just to like get a better sense of who she is. Like, I need to like, this will be good like premarital counseling to like watch to watch Clark Griswold and what he does. I was like, man, that sounds like you're going to be a terrible partner.
You know, the 80s were a different time.
They were a different time. All right. Well, appreciate you, man.
Likewise.
We'll be back soon talking more What If as soon as possible. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Hey, you just listened to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast from Stranded Panda. I really hope you liked it. let me just say a big thank you to all of our supporters on patreon.com/mcucast. You are the lifeblood of our little operation here, and a huge, huge thank you to our insanely generous Illuminati tier patrons, Walter Kreisky III, Lieutenant Bongo, and Jazz Viz. You guys are amazing. If you'd like to see our beautiful faces, you can catch a video version of many of our episodes at youtube.com/strandedpanda. Love you 3000, my friends.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.